Good evening, folks. Hate to break up a party. All right, so we all ready to roll up our sleeves and have a go at Job? So, all right. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to study your word. We thank you for these lessons. Pray that as we continue to look here together at the book of Job, that we can find help and hope and encouragement for ourselves, but maybe also that we could share with other people that are going through adversity of one type or another. And it wouldn't be just our opinion, but you know, this is something that we've learned from God's word. So we pray that you guide us in our time here together tonight. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I got a few more books. If you want to invite some of your friends along to be a part of this, okay? All right, so we're looking at Job chapter 1 here tonight. And talking about when adversity comes, okay? Anybody sign up for that? You know, that's kind of like, what is it, James 1 that talks about that. What are we supposed to do with that? With trials, tests, adversity? Okay. Verse 2, James 1, 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or various kinds of temptations or trials or tests." Okay. Then he goes on to tell that there are some good things that result from it, all right? The trying of your patience, and goes on to talk about other things. And so, yeah, there's things that we can learn from it. It's not usually a class that we want to sign up for. And maybe you just want to learn it all from Job so you don't have to learn it for yourself. But we don't always get to pick and choose those things. He mentions here, and rightly so, he says, "Nothing confuses us and tries our faith like seeing really bad things," and that's from our perspective, not God's, but from our perspective, these seem to be bad things that happen to good people. Well, there are books written on that. Why do bad things happen to good people, all right? And sometimes Maureen and I have talked about that at various times. Different people going through trials and tests. You know, we went through that with one of our own missionaries, Tim Brutical. Been missionary to Germany for many years. Knew the language. Was effective at reaching out to people. Worked with basketball teams for youth to reach out to the youth and seemed to be effective, and yet he ended up with a disease that caused him to have to leave the field, and it ultimately took his life. Other missionaries that we've known through the years, too, have went through similar things. And, you just kind of shake your head and think, why? You know, we've got people around that are, we could use different adjectives for them, but let's just say that they're not necessarily a blessing to other people around them, and they're lived to be a ripe old life. Why does God let some people live as long as they do? Yeah. No, that's the route I would take. God gives us opportunities, and yeah. It'd be nice if we all got saved when we're about five, you know, and keep us out of trouble for the next 75 years or so, but it doesn't always work that way. Some people don't get saved till they're about 70, and they've left a trail of disaster behind them. So, do you have something to add there, Chris?
Another reason is to use that time, that great age, he was the oldest man I can see from the churches, to witness to other people, to lead them to the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. So, none of us know how long we're going to be around, though, do we? You know, most people think that their kids are going to bury them, not that the parents are going to bury the kids. And yet that's the way it worked out here for Job. You know, and you can ask why. And you can kind of drive yourself nuts asking why, because we don't have all the facts. You've heard all these different illustrations before, but you know, you look at that beautiful tapestry that's on a wall, or some kind of rug that's got an amazing design on it. You know, it's really beautiful. You know, and you roll the thing over, and it's just a mass of strings and knots and everything else. Well, we're kind of looking at the strings and knots. It doesn't all make sense. If we were able to see it from God's perspective, we could see how all this stuff kind of fits together. And in my mind, that's where faith comes in. You just have to trust God on this thing, that he knows what he's doing. And, you know, his word tells us that he loves us. He's only going to allow what's ultimately best for us to come into our lives. Our lives as Christians are not full of good luck or bad luck or any other kind of luck, all right? There's a lot of things that we can learn from Job, and hopefully as we go along we can grasp a hold of some of that. He starts with some of the basics here, talking about Job as one of the first five books of wisdom or poetry. Now, from our English versions, it doesn't look so much like poetry, does it? Now, I'm not a poet, okay? The extent of my poetry are roses are red, violets are blue. You know, and I struggled in school when I had to try to write poetry because that's just not my thing. Some people can write it and read it and understand it. But, one of the books of poetry that we'd find, and if we were able to see this and understand it in the Hebrew language, we could see how it all comes together. Historically, where's Job fit in? You know, if you look in your index, you know, it's a little ways in there after Genesis, Exodus, so on. If we were to write in chronologically, time-wise, where would Job fit in? Yeah, uno, number one, okay? What gives us some insight that Job's not or that he's ahead of everybody else. Right. There's no mention of the Ten Commandments. There's no mention of the law that would have come about as a result of Moses. And so they, somewhere in between Noah and Moses, he fits in there. Okay. He believes in God. Apparently it's after the flood. He mentions a flood. But we don't know exactly the time in which it was written. He's not dating it like so many other books, like with Daniel or other books, you know, in such and such a year of King so-and-so, you know, that you can look up and try to find out a date-wise. Well, we don't have that here. But again, we can learn a lot from this book. So what kind of a explanation do people give when they come across that question? Why does God let bad things happen to good people? Something bad happens to you. Not necessarily. You don't always get helpful hints, comfort, encouragement. you may end up with some of Job's friends, and what might they tell you, Mark?
The things that are of the world, you must have did something wrong. Yeah. You know, you must have angered God. But also, Scripture teaches Satan is a liar and a murderer from the beginning. God is a God of love, and but he also things can happen in our life for the essence of. Kill somebody to give you a message, but in that there might be something that he wants you to learn, and it could be that, wow, where am I going to go if I'm not saved?
Yeah.
Also, you might see the death of somebody and start thinking about my life. Where am I going to go?
Yeah, it's tragic when friends or family die and we have funerals. And, you know, people are hurting and grieving. But like you say, sometimes that works as kind of a wake-up call to people. They haven't thought too much about them dying or what's going to happen to me when I'm up there, you know, until something like that comes along. And I don't know, I try to... try to learn something from other people's lives. But sometimes they say it's due to sin. You know, I mean, after all, and we're jumping ahead of ourselves here with what happens to Job, but, you know, you must have really done something bad for something like that to happen, okay? So what can we learn from these guys? Yeah. With friends like that, who needs enemies, right? Yeah. People don't, you know, a lot of people have opinions. You remember what opinions are like, right? Noses. We all have one, okay? And some feel the need to share their opinion, whether they'd been better off if they just kept that information to themselves. Okay. But, you know, God's not into revenge. He's not up there walking around with a baseball bat just looking for somebody to smack, you know. And yet some people have kind of got that idea of God. You know, he's just, you done wrong, whack. You know, strike one, you're out. Mark?
Also, think of it in the essence, God is absolute truth. Everything yeah.
Yeah. The thing is, though, does God always tell us what's going on? Did Job know what was going on when we're... I mean, this is the 2020 hindsight of Job, right? You know, I mean, if Job knew what we know about what was going on in his life, he might have had a different perspective on things, thinking, okay, well, yeah, you know, it doesn't make any sense to me, but I'm going to trust you, Lord. Okay, so, all right. I don't want to get too far off track here. Okay, but they say a few things that we can learn from Job's adversity. Good place to start. Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And the man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Okay? What kind of an opinion might we have of Job? What kind of a guy was he?
Wealthy.
Pardon?
He was wealthy.
He was wealthy. Wealthy. Okay, I was picking up something else and it didn't fit. Wealthy. Okay. Daddy Big Bucks. He would have been John D. Rockefeller, Gates, and a few others kind of rolled into one. All right. What about the guy spiritually? Yeah, he feared the Lord, okay? This is not some, what we'd say, lukewarm Christian, okay? This is not a have to be careful here a little bit, but I think we mentioned this the other day, you know, a C&E Christian, Christmas and Easter Christian, that show up every once in a while. No, this is not a lukewarm guy. This guy was really fired up for the Lord, and it tells us here that the land of Uz, different thoughts on this. I was reading a couple things. Author here says it was probably around the Dead Sea. I was reading somebody else, and they were saying that they thought maybe he was from over around Damascus, which is apparently the oldest city on earth. Okay. But I guess that doesn't matter all that much. Job was genuinely seeking to live a life that pleased the Lord. And we see that as we go along here today. It tells us that he was perfect. Now, does that mean he's sinless? No. Are any of us going to be sinless this side of heaven? Okay. Not for very long. We may be confessed up, but it won't take us too long before we get dirty again, right? Yeah, and he was free from fault. He had a right relation. We would say today he had a right relationship with the Lord. He's upright. You know, he has a good reputation with those around about him. He feared God. He had a high view of God. Again, we don't know where he learned all that he knew about God. But he seemed to have things under. He understood things. Really amazing amount of insight as to what God was like in that day and age. Eschewed or avoided evil. Okay, if there was something kind of gray area, a little dodgy, you wouldn't find Job, you know, being involved in that. Okay. Okay, so some things, I guess I'm reading some of the little notes I'd put in there along here. I guess I mentioned this already, but, you know, sometimes we call things bad. It was a bad accident or, you know, whatever. Something bad happened. And from our perspective, you know, it looks bad, all right? And for the person experiencing it, it's bad. But as a Christian, as a true born-again believer, is our lives full of accidents? You know, accidents, something. Now, from our perspective, again, we go out, run into another car. Well, we didn't plan to do that, so in a sense it was an accident. But God allows certain things to happen in our lives, and it wasn't that God was looking over here when he's supposed to be watching us over here and something happened. No. I think Mark mentioned this too, you know, that sometimes when things happen, it can be a lesson for us. Sometimes God's teaching us a lesson, but are we the only one that learns from it? No. Other people, whether we like it or not, or even think about it, other people are watching us or observing our lives, and they learn from it. I mean, we're learning from Job. You stop. I was thinking about that the other day, and I have no way of knowing how many zeros to put with it. But, I mean, this was pretty tragic things that happened to Job. But how many people have learned something from Job? It wouldn't be thousands. It would be millions over the last, couple thousand years here. And that's just from Jesus' day. And it was out there a long time before that. And so there's a lot of lessons that people have learned about Job through the years. What do you, even the people maybe don't know all that much about the Bible, they may mention some characteristic of Job. What is that? Was Job known for? Have you heard people talk about having the patience of Job? Yeah. Patience. Sometimes, we kind of joke about it, but when we're going through tough times one way or another, and I joke, folks, you're not praying for me for patience, are you? If you are, stop. I flunked that class over and over again. Okay, so we see here a little bit about his piety, his relationship with the Lord. I'm not a fan of that word because sometimes we hear about people are kind of pious. When I hear that, I kind of think of somebody walking around with their nose in the air. They drowned if it rained. But Job wasn't like that. He's not some egomaniac. Okay, we see here mentioned, too, about his life, his prosperity. I mean, this, sometimes people get the wrong idea about wealth. They think wealth is bad. And if you're wealthy, you must be doing something wrong. The only way to be spiritual is to be poor. Why would it be? Why would you be more spiritual if you were poor? Okay, all right, rely on God. There's a temptation when you're maybe wealthy that you think you can make it without God's help. I mean, we got money in the bank and how many thousand sheep and camels and so on. But it's not how much you have. It's what you do with what you have. Okay? Because people who don't have two nickels to rub together can be greedy and envious and jealous and have all kinds of other struggles because they don't have anything and they want what you got. Okay? Maureen just told me, I don't know where she heard it, but, this reparation stuff, that we should be paying reparations to for something happened that, 150 years ago or something. But then there's another one that just come out that, there's certain minorities shouldn't have to pay taxes. Okay. So the rest of us get to pay more. Yeah. Well, Job's prosperity. I mean, he's prosperous in the sense he's got a large family. He's got 7 sons, 3 daughters. But then it lists this, 7,000 sheep. I mean, that's a lot of that's a lot of sheep shearing, okay? 3,000 camels. mean, I was reading this and somebody else is telling about this, you know. What do you do with 3,000 camels? Well, they didn't have semis back then. They had trade routes. They brought in stuff, sent stuff out. You can haul a lot with 3,000 camels, right? 500 yoke of oxen. Well, it's not horsepower. It's oxen power. But that's plowing up a lot of fields. You know, that's a lot of agriculture there, right? And I thought, I don't know what you do with 500 female donkeys. Apparently, they give milk. That was a real delicacy back then. Is that like goat milk or something? I don't know. I'm sorry. Lots of servants, okay? So he's like the richest guy in the area, all right? So he's got an abundance. He's got lots. Yet the family seems, you know, pretty tight. They're celebrating together, and we see here that Job kind of keeps people's focus, and, you know, as he mentions here, when the party's over, Job would offer a burnt offering for all of them. You know, it's like, maybe one of them have sinned, you know? When your kids are grown, moved out, okay, got a house of their own, are you not concerned about what's going on in their life anymore? Are they unplugged from mom and dad? Not really. No, you're still praying for them. You're hoping they're staying on track. You do what you can while they're there, and then you pray for them once they're out on their own too. And maybe they've sinned, and so he's trying to keep people focused on the Lord. And he said he practiced what the New Testament commandment found in Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, bring them up in the nurture and training and admonition of the Lord. Okay, so dads still have an influence on his grown children, which is a good thing. Okay. Then he has a few problems. Okay. Now, Job ends up with huge problems. But you don't have to go through everything that Job went through. I think there's some principles that we can learn as we go through this on how to handle some of those problems, whether they're large or small, the trials or tests that we experience. Okay, so he mentions here the scene shifts from earth to heaven. So we're starting to look at things, what's going on in heaven? You ever think about that today? You know, we all the chaos that's going on down here. Heaven's not asleep. There's things going on. Some of the same actors back then, how many? 2,000, 3,000 years old ago are still out there today. And he says here, talk about the sons of God. They come to basically give an account to the Lord, and they're talking about it. And who shows up? Yeah, Satan. Does that surprise you that Satan shows up in heaven? Sometimes we get the idea that, you know, when he fell, he got drop kicked out of heaven. No, he still has access. That's going to end. Remember when? Pardon?
Tribulation.
Yeah, tribulation, middle of the trib. You know, that's when things really get heated up. Second half of it, he's been, like I say, drop kicked out of heaven. But he still has access. And when he gets there, what is one of the... I mean, Satan's got a lot of things he does, which are not good. But what is one of the things that he does when he gets to heaven in relation to believers or Job or whoever? Accuser. He's accuser of the brethren, All right? Not just a tattletale, okay, telling him what somebody, but anything he can find wrong. He's looking for the hypocrite Christian, okay? He's trying to poke holes in our armor. And he uses that on us, even yet today. You do something wrong, you know, and you know you did something wrong, and we're supposed to confess it, forsake it, be forgiven by the Lord. But, and God doesn't hold us against this, but he puts that in a file. Files away in the memory bank, you know, and use it against us. Remember what you did, this and this and this and this, and you call yourself a Christian. Well, he wants to discourage us so that we'll just kind of give up and not be a witness, okay? You're not much of a Christian. And so Satan's there. He's accusing us, and he's accusing Job. Maybe we should just kind of leave it there and pick that up here next time. But he's accusing Job. Why does he say Job's such a good guy? He's got a good life, and why is that? What's that? Well, he fears the Lord, yeah. Chris?
God blesses him and favors him.
Yeah, God's been, you've been good to him. You spoiled him, God. If you hadn't been so good to him, you know, he would curse you to your face. You take away all that stuff you've given him, see how much he loves you then. Well, thing is, God knew Job's heart. He's not just looking at the outward appearance like we do. He's looking at his heart. And he's looking at your heart and mine. He knows what we're really like underneath it all. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows how we would respond if God took everything away from us. And he knows how Job's going to respond, too. He's not guessing. God's not saying, hope this turns out okay, you know. you know, it mentions this, and maybe I better just quit here, but, you know, we talk about a hedge. You know, God, Satan's saying, you know, you put this hedge of protection around him. You think God does that?
I know he does.
Yeah. And do you think he just does it for Job? No. He can put a hedge of protection around us, too. You know? And that's what, you know, you think life's kind of rough now. Imagine what life would be like without the hedge. You know? You ever been around a dog that is maybe behind the fence? But he's running up and down and he's growling and he's, you know, barking. And man, if that dog got through that fence, he'd tear my leg off. I got a neighbor one like that. You know, he's on a chain. I hope that thing never breaks. Or you're going to see me do the 4-minute mile. I didn't know that guy could climb a tree that fast. But yeah, you're seeing how this is set up. And but we don't know what conversations God has with with Satan, and I don't see myself as ever getting the attention of Satan. It's one of his flunkies, you know, the pecking order down a ways, all right? But they're trying to do the same thing. They're trying to copy their boss. And, but he says, you know, have you ever tried my servant Job? He's a man of integrity. Question, could God say that about us? You, me? He knows everything about us. You know? Well, maybe just hang on to that protection thing here, all right? Does it mean that you're invincible, that you can go out and do stupid stuff, and, oh, well, God's going to protect me anyway? Nah. There's still consequences, right? All right. Well, we'll stop here and pick this up here next time, all right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We're just kind of dipping our toe in the water here with Job. There's so many things that we can learn from him early on here. We pray that you continue to guide us as we go ahead with our study. And we pray that it might not be just things that we learn about Job and think, oh, well, that was good for him, and go our merry way and forget about it. But that we can learn some truths and principles that we can apply to our own life. And what was going on in Job's life is probably not all that much different than what may happen in our own lives. Job had no clue as to the what or why things were happening the way they were. And oftentimes we don't either. And we just got to trust you, just like Job did. So we pray you'll continue to help us to learn from this book as we go through it together. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh.